Now, today we continue the meditation. The word of Faustina. My Jesus, you know what my soul goes through at the recollection of these sufferings? I've often marveled that the angels and saints hold their peace at the sight of a soul suffering like that. Yet they have special love for us at such moments. My soul has often cried out after God as a little child who cries as loudly as he can when his mother covers his face and he cannot recognize her. O my Jesus, honor and glory to you for these trials of love. Great and incomprehensible is your mercy. All that you intended for my soul, O Lord, is steeped in your mercy. So, no complaint. It's all from the mercy of Jesus. Whatever we suffer, spiritually, physically, psychologically, it's a gift. I will mention here that those who live with such a person should not add external sufferings. So at times, maybe you are not the one who suffer, but the one next to you who suffer. Be more patience. For indeed, when a soul's cup is full, the little drop we may add to it may be the one drop too much. And a cup of bitterness will overflow. And who will answer for such a soul? Let us beware of adding to the suffering of others, because that is displeasing to the Lord. We must be also careful. You are not suffering, but the one who lets you suffer. But don't add anything more. It's difficult, huh? If the sisters or the superiors knew or even suspected that a soul was suffering such trials, and they nevertheless added still other sufferings, they would be sinning gravely, and God himself would demand an account of them on behalf of such soul. I think a little bit complaining. The superior didn't understand the situation. I'm not speaking here, for instance, which of their very nature and sin are sinful, but of things which in other circumstances would not be sinful. Let us be on our guard against having the weight of such a soul on our conscience. There's a grave and common defect in religious life, namely, that when one sees a suffering soul, one always wants to add even more suffering. I do not say that everyone acts like this, but there are some. We take the liberty of passing all sorts of judgments and we repeat them when they would do better to remain silent. The tongue is a small member, but it does big things. A religious who does not keep silence will never attain holiness. That is, she will never become a saint. Let her not delude herself, and that it is the Spirit of God who is speaking through her. For then she must not keep silent. But in order to hear the voice of God, one has to have silence in one's soul and to keep silent. You too, not only because of your sisters. If you're not silent, you cannot hear the voice of God. Don't think that you are doing things that do not belong to God. Everything given us is holy. All for our sanctity, right? So don't consider, oh, this is meaningful things, or this is, we used to do it. Don't do that, not because you're used to. Your tongue is a small thing, but it did great things too. not a gloomy silence, but an interior silence. That's to say, recollection in God. Not just to keep your mouth shut and keep your mouth shut. It's not a real silence. Mind, heart, spirit in the Lord. One can speak a great deal without breaking silence. And on the contrary, one can speak little and be constantly breaking silence. Oh, what irreparable damage is done by the breach of silence. We cause a lot of harm to our neighbor, but even more to our own selves. In our opinion, according to my experience, the rule concerning silence should stand in the very first place. God does not give himself to a chattering soul. Words like a drone in a beehive, buzzes around, but gathers no honey. A talkative soul is empty itself. It lacks both the essential virtues and intimacy with God. A deeper interior life, one of gentle peace and of that silence where the Lord dwells, is quite out of the question. A soul that has never tasted the sweetness of interior silence is a restless spirit which disturbs the silence of others. He doesn't keep his own silence but also disturb the others. If you many times you receive calls, gossips, they disturb the silence. If you know who, tell them you are busy. Be gentle. Otherwise, you don't say, oh, this is my friend. You want to keep a friend and lose your silence and lose God? I have seen many souls in the depths of hell for not having kept their silence. Wow. They told me so themselves when I asked them what was the cause of their undoing. These were souls of villages. She got many friends. In other words, they shared with her. My God, what an agony it is to think that not only might they have been in heaven, but they might even have become saints. Oh, Jesus, have mercy. That means otherwise, just because too much, a religious speaking too much, no silence, then you lose God. You used to work with all the music in a year. You hear the earphone when you work in the kitchen, everywhere, in the market, you're always listening to music, isn't it? I'm not sure whether it helps you to be. Maybe some people listen to the music, they have them more silence interiorly. But if you are more disturbed, I don't know what's the way. You have a rosary ring, you have anything, you know. I tremble to think that I have to give an account of my tongue. There is life, but there is also death in the tongue. Sometimes we kill the tongue. We commit real murders. And we are still to regard that as a small thing? I truly do not understand such consciences. I've known a person who, when she learned from someone that a certain thing was being said about her, fell seriously ill. She lost a good deal of blood and shed many tears. And the outcome was very sad. I was not the sort that did all this, but the tongue. Oh, my silent Jesus, have mercy on us. I have wandered onto the subject of silence, but this is not what I wanted to speak about, but rather about the soul's life with God and about its response to grace. But a soul has been cleansed, and the Lord is on intimate terms with it. He begins to apply all his inner force in striving after God. Yet the soul cannot do anything of itself. God alone arranges everything. The soul knows this and is mindful of it. It is still in exile and understands well that there may yet come cloudy and rainy days. But it must now look upon things differently from what it had up to now. It does not seek reassurance in a false peace, but be ready for battle. It knows it comes from a warrior race. It is now much more aware of everything. It knows that it is a royal stock. It is concerned with all that is great and holy. There's a series of graces which God pours into the soul after these trials by fire. The soul enjoys intimate union with God. He has many visions, both corporal and intellectual. It hears many supernatural words and sometimes distinct orders. But despite these graces, it is not self-sufficient. In fact, it is even less so as a result of God's graces, because it is now open to many dangers and can easily fall prey to illusions. So at times when you have certain situations, you might have the kind of interior silence, and then God might speak to you sometimes in real silence. But also at times it could be illusioned also, no? You thought all the times Jesus speak to you. Not all the time. They say be careful. It ought to ask God for a spiritual director. It is very important. Someone who can, from the third person, to discern for you whether it is. Sometimes, you know, it happens very often. I know a person, I always mention the name because I know her, Lillian Barnes, the Canadian girl who got divisions, who got the stigmata herself. It happens sometimes. Jesus appeared to her at night during prayer. Once, as if Jesus appeared to her and kind of come message, and she wrote down. But by the time when she offered, burned. That means to say that's not from Jesus. No, it happens. At times, the image, because you can see the same Jesus, the same face. But also you have to be humble. Not because I have the grace, so I'm sure, not all the so. You need a spiritual director, you see. This humility. Sometimes some people say, no, I have the grace that direct from God, but I have to talk to discern with another person or with a priest. Maybe you think he knows less spiritual thing than you. It's true. But we need to be humble also. It ought to ask God for a spiritual director. But not only must it pray for one, it must also make every effort to find a leader who is an expert in these things. Such a military leader must know the ways along which he will lead his followers into battle. And so that is united with God must be prepared for great and hard-fought battles. So even the more grace you have, the more of battle you have to fight. Always alert, not just I'm at peace, so everything's settled. You're not yet in heaven. That's the point. Still, you have to walk, struggle. Oh, you have to keep silence, your tongue, your thoughts. Also be humble. After these purifications and tears, God abides in the soul in a special way. But the soul does not always cooperate with these graces. Not that the soul itself is not willing to work, but it encounters so many interior and exterior difficulties that it really takes a miracle to sustain the soul on these summits. So really, the more you have the high level, the more you'll be humble. It's true. Indeed, it is absolutely lit as director. People have often sown doubts in my soul, and I myself have sometimes become frightened at the thought that I was, after all, an ignorant person and did not have knowledge of many things, above all, spiritual things. But when my doubts increased, I sought light from my confessor or my superior. Yet I did not obtain what I desired. So it is always because sometimes strange thoughts will come in. People, they're not sharing the same level. They might find that you are something strange. But if the confirmation from a spiritual director or from a superior takes. For example, Jesus asked someone to paint an image of him, divine mercy, asked someone to paint. Never happened. Nobody see Jesus. And she saw Jesus, and then there's a way, really like or not like. Fortunately, a spiritual director, Soboko, Father for Soboko, he believed that. Her superior believed that. I think that's only really two persons, really. But they suffered a lot. Many condemnation from the outside world for the spiritual director. How you believe in this? They considered Faustina at that time kind of insane. Something wrong with her mind, you see. When I opened myself up to my superiors, one of them understood my soul and the role God intended for me. When I follow her advice, I make quick progress towards perfection. But these did not last long. When I opened up my soul still more deeply, I did not obtain what I desired. It seemed to my superior that these graces were unlikely, and so I could not draw any further help from her. She told me it was impossible that God should commune with his creatures in such a way. You see, quote, "I fear for you, sister, that there is an illusion of some sort," end quote. "You better go and seek the advice of a priest." So the superior wondered what happened. So end the quote. But the confessor did not understand me and said, "This is another person, not Father Soboko. You had better go, sister, and talk about these matters with your superiors." This transfer one another. The superior can't cope with her and ask the confessor. The confessor didn't understand very much. "You better see your superior." And so I would go from the superiors to the confessor and from the confessor to the superiors. And I found no peace. These divine graces became great sufferings for me. You know, to do things for Jesus is not always peaceful. It's hard. And more than once I said to the Lord directly, "Jesus, I'm afraid of you. Could you not be some kind of a ghost?" Even she doubt, because the superior might say, "You have something, you know, something wrong with your mind." So she asked Jesus. Jesus always assured me, but I still continue to be incredulous. It's a strange thing, however. The more I became incredulous, the more Jesus gave me proofs that these things came from him. So, finish. But it's very interesting, huh? We have to always have the humility. I pray for a good spiritual director. If you yearn for holiness, not everybody knows your soul, but we need someone, not necessarily older, but someone wiser, and to share the same spirit that will help you grow.